Why traditionalism? Now, this question can mean several things. Why do people choose traditional Catholicism, for instance? Why do people leave the Novus Ordo and choose to attend the approved Latin Mass, or attend the SSPX, or become a sedevacantist? Why this relatively new attack on traditional groups? Why traditionalism could also mean, why does traditional Catholicism even exist? And the question means all these things. But to answer the question first, we need to answer another question. What is a traditional Catholic? And I think the simplest answer is this. A traditional Catholic is someone who sees a break in Catholicism, which stems from the Second Vatican Council and the new Mass. We see that something is wrong, that this is not what the Catholic Church is meant to be, that there was a departure from what the Church was up to that point, the Second Vatican Council and the new Mass, a departure in its teaching, its liturgy, and its culture. And we see this departure is not good. We see the problems in the Church as being a direct result of that departure. Low Mass attendance, churches and schools closing, not enough priests and religious, and the youth leaving the Church altogether. Opinions vary as to what degree the Second Vatican Council played in this departure with the Church's past. Some say the Council was good, but the implementation went wrong. Others say that there are errors in the documents of the Second Vatican Council, but the documents themselves are not infallible, so says Pope Paul VI. And still others believe the Council and the popes involved and since the Council are illegitimate and constitute a new religion. Thus, the See of Peter is vacant. Now, I'm not going to pretend to settle that issue, but I think the question that answers all other questions is this: are they right? Not individually, but in the premise. Was there a break in the Catholic Church from what it was before Vatican II and the new Mass and after? And is the Council and the new Mass responsible for that break and the problems we see in the Church today? Because I think that even if you believe there's nothing wrong with the Council documents, but rather its implementation, you have to concede that the Council is still responsible because those implementations would not have been made otherwise. Of course, to answer this question, we must look at the Church before the Council and after, and look at the Council itself. To thoroughly exhaust the issue would take far too long, but I think it would be reasonable to assume that if a deviation can be shown in just a few areas, then it would be reasonable to say, yes, the Church has departed from its traditional teaching since the Second Vatican Council. This is a bad thing, and this change is responsible for the crisis in the Church. Let's start with the crisis in the Church. After the Council, the number of ordinations dropped dramatically. Add to that, 100,000 men worldwide left the priesthood the first 10 years after the Council. It is said that Pope Paul VI cried every Friday as he signed the papers laicizing the priests. And by 1980, 50,000 nuns left their convents in the U.S. alone, according to Michael Davies. Defenders of the Council point out that the decline in priestly ordinations started in the 1950s. Yes, which is when they started tinkering with the liturgy. Also, just after the Second World War, an unnatural increase in ordinations occurred, so a correction in the 1950s was to be expected. But the number increased again during the Council, because of optimism, no doubt. Then after the Council, it sharply declined and has been declining ever since. But it's not just the clergy and religious life that has suffered loss in the Catholic Church since Vatican II and the new Mass. Mass attendance, baptisms, marriages, confirmations, in every measurable category, a rapid decline is seen since the early 1970s. I'm sorry, but cultural changes cannot account for this, as some claim. Population increase alone demands an increase. A decline means something went terribly wrong. After the Council, it was thought that the Church would have to build seminary schools and churches to accommodate the influx of converts, not close them. So what happened? The new Mass. The Mass had pretty much been the same throughout the world since the 6th century. After the Council of Trent, Pope Pius V issued a missal along with the papal bull stating that this Mass must be said without deviation everywhere from now on. and that was the case for the next 400 years until the 1950s and 60s when the Mass was altered, building up to the Novus Ordo Missae, or New Order of Mass, issued by Pope Paul VI in 1969. Now, most people think that the new Mass is simply the old Mass, which was in Latin, translated into the language of the common people, but nothing could be further from the truth. Sure, the basic structure is pretty much the same, but unlike the old Mass, which developed over time, the new Mass was invented by one man, Annibale Bugnini, who, as it turns out, was a Freemason. Involvement in Freemasonry carries an automatic penalty of excommunication, so the new Mass was concocted by someone who wasn't even a Roman Catholic. In fact, Bugnini consulted several Protestant ministers in formulating the new Mass. The result was a watered-down and Protestantized liturgy. The differences between the old and new Mass are striking. The altars were removed, and the tabernacles, which contain the body and blood of Christ, were moved out of the sanctuary to a room somewhere in the church, and a Protestant-like table was put in. The priest, rather than facing God, now faced the people. Over time, the communion rails were removed, and rather than receiving the Eucharist on the tongue while kneeling, they began receiving it in the hand while standing. Rather than receiving exclusively from the priest, the laity also began handing out communion. Girls were now allowed to serve at the altar. The Mass prayers were changed from indicating a sacrifice to ones indicating the sharing of a meal. Rather than strict rubrics that must be followed, the priest now had options. They could use this prayer or that prayer. Many more novelties were introduced and experiments done in order to involve the people, such as the sign of peace, liturgical dancers, clown masses, etc. Statues were removed and replaced with obscure modern art, and the new churches looked virtually indistinguishable from Protestant churches. The new Mass is completely different and inferior to the Mass it sought to replace. The Mass is a prayer, lex credendi, lex orandi, lex vivendi. How we pray is how we believe, and how we believe is how we live. One result of all these changes is that today, 70% of Catholics do not believe in the real presence. But it's not just the Mass that changed. The teaching changed as well. All one has to do is read the Council documents and papal encyclicals prior to Vatican II and those of the Council and after to see that the teaching has changed. Religious liberty is called an error in the syllabus of errors, yet called a human right in the Vatican II documents. The Second Vatican Council says in Dignitas Humanae, quote, "This demand for freedom in human society chiefly regards the quest for the values proper to the human spirit. It regards, in the first place, the free exercise of religion in society. This right of the human person to religious freedom is to be recognized in the constitutional law whereby society is governed, and thus it is to become a civil right. The social nature of man itself, however, requires that he should give external expression to his internal acts of religion, that he should share with others in matters of religion, that he should profess his religion in community. Injury, therefore, is done to the human person and to the very order established by God for human life if the free exercise of religion is denied in society, provided just public order is observed." So the Second Vatican Council says that every person has the right to the public exercise of their religion. Yet the syllabus of errors says this. Now remember, these are errors. In the present day, it is no longer expedient that the Catholic religion should be held as the only religion of the state, to the exclusion of all other forms of worship. Hence, it has been wisely decided by law in some Catholic countries that the person coming to reside therein shall enjoy the public exercise of their own peculiar worship. Moreover, it is false that the civil liberty of every form of worship and the full power given to all of overtly and publicly manifesting any opinions whatsoever and thoughts conduce more easily to corrupt the morals and minds of the people and to propagate the pest of indifferentism. The reason these are errors is because Christ is King not just of heaven, not just of Christians, but of all humans and nations and kingdoms, and he has the right to be worshipped by all men. Of course, the Catholic Church recognizes that no one should be coerced, but Christ and his church, which is the Catholic Church, has the right to be publicly recognized to the exclusion of all others. I'm sorry, but the Second Vatican Council is in conflict with the syllabus of errors when it comes to religious liberty. Of course, the constant teaching of the Church cannot change, but it can be watered down, distorted, or ignored. For instance, Mary is hardly ever talked about since Vatican II. Why? Although the Second Vatican Council professes and proclaims all the teachings from the Church concerning the Blessed Virgin Mary, at the end of all that it says in Lumen Gentium 60, but it, the Council, exhorts theologians and preachers of the divine word to abstain zealously both from all gross exaggerations as well as from petty narrow-mindedness in considering the singular dignity of the Mother of God. Let them assiduously keep away from whatever, either by word or deed, could lead separated brethren or any other into error regarding the true doctrine of the Church. In other words, let's tone it down on the Blessed Virgin Mary, not deny the doctrines, but let's just not talk about her so much. Now, it goes on to say, let the faithful remember, moreover, that true devotion consists neither in sterile or transitory affection, nor in a certain vain credulity, but proceeds from true faith, by which we are led to know the excellence of the Mother of God, and we are moved to a filial love toward our Mother and to the imitation of her virtues. Well, what the hell does that mean? That's just meaningless psychobabble, designed to shut down the conversation when people complained about all the images and statues of Mary being removed. Okay, Father, I guess if you say so. Who cares what Protestants think? Have they stopped accusing us of worshiping Mary since this was implemented? No, and they're not going to. We have to be wrong in order for them to be right. This is why Catholics don't know about the brown scapular, consecrating yourself to Mary, and why the faithful aren't praying the rosary out loud in the church before Mass in the Novus Ordo, like they are in the Latin Masses. I'll never forget my son and I were sitting in a church after confession praying the rosary, to ourselves, not out loud. You still get the indulgence that way. And this 70-year-old permanent deacon dude, who could clearly see that we were praying the rosary, kept coming up and interrupting us with one stupid, mundane, who-cares reason after another. He must have done it 5 times, and each time he walked away with a little chuckle to himself. He took pleasure in interrupting our prayers to the Blessed Mother. This is the kind of people we are dealing with in the Novus Ordo. Not all of them, but a lot of them, to varying degrees. And what about confession? Have you noticed people hardly go to confession in the Novus Ordo? And the ones that do, don't know how to do it. You get in line, next thing you know, 20 of the 45 minutes have gone by, and the line hasn't moved. The guy who was in there when you arrived is still in there. If I go to a Novus Ordo confession and there's more than 5 people, I turn around and leave, because I know there's a good chance I won't make it. At my SSPX chapel, if I get there with 45 minutes left for confession, I don't care if there's 15 people in front of me, I know I'm going to make it, because those people know how to do a confession. If you're in the confessional for more than 5 minutes, it's too long. So all you Novus Ordo people watching, listen up. This is how you do confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been X days since my last confession. Since then, I've done X this many times. I did Y this many times and Z this many times. Father gives you some advice. You say the act of contrition and he absolves you. You're done. Next. You don't blubber because you can't stop eating or your husband ignores you or your wife won't stop nagging or your kids hate you. This isn't therapy. This is you getting God's forgiveness for what you have done. Look, I know it's not your fault. They're not teaching this in the Novus Ordo. I know people in my area are told the priest does not forgive your sins, and the reason we confess to him is because when we sin not only against God, we sin against the community, and the priest represents the community, and we have to ask the community for forgiveness. This is gobbledygook. The priest absolutely has the authority to forgive sins, and there are some sins that can only be forgiven by a priest through sacramental absolution. And the dogma, outside of the church there is no salvation, has pretty much lost all its meaning. Now, the Second Vatican Council actually puts this dogma into perspective. It says, hence, they could not be saved who, knowing that the Catholic Church was founded as necessary by God through Christ, would refuse to either enter or remain in it. But this is often not what's being taught. Catholics are given the sense that in the end, only the really bad people will be damned and everyone else will be saved. Bishop Robert Barron famously said, dare we hope that hell is empty, only if we want to fool ourselves and be delusional. But even though that attitude doesn't come directly from the Vatican II documents, it's still a result of the Second Vatican Council. The Council loosened things up. No more anathemas, no more condemnations or official excommunications. It's why nobody corrected Bishop Barron except the laity. The Vatican documents are vague and can be interpreted in various ways. It's this, but on the other hand, it's that. This is good, but when circumstances demand it, it's okay for this. It's this, but circumstances can arise when this is beneficial. None of the other councils ever talked out of both sides of their mouths like this one does. The other council said, it's this, end of discussion, and if you deny it, you're out. And the Second Vatican Council changed everything. It revised all the prayers. It changed the rites of ordination and consecration. They removed exorcisms from baptisms. They removed the exorcised salt and other exorcisms from holy water. They actually watered down holy water. Why would they do that? Who does this benefit? Demons, that's who. You look at all this and you say, yeah, it looks like a completely different church. I'm not a Sede Vacantist, but I get what they're saying when they say this is a new religion. I don't agree with it, but I understand what they're saying, and they're not the only ones saying it. The pro Novus Ordo Vatican II true believers say it too. They say the Vatican II Church is a new church, and that the Second Vatican Council is the only council that matters. It trumps all other councils, especially the Council of Trent, and that it changed the teaching in the church. And I'm not just talking about the rank and file in the pews. I'm talking about the directors of religious education in churches, the Susans from the parish office, the RCIA directors, and yes, priests. You know, the people running the church. I've heard them say it. Heck, I believed it too at one time. Why? Because that's what they told me. And are they being corrected by their bishops? Is Pope Francis going to correct them? No. The only people being corrected are those who hold to the traditional teaching, and especially the Latin Mass. So don't tell me these are one-offs and isolated incidents. They're not. So the answer is yes. There is a crisis in the church, and it was caused by Vatican II and the new Mass. And we trads, though we disagree on how to handle the situation and what it truly means, recognize that this is not real Catholicism, and that real Catholicism cannot be taken from us. The church does not have the right to deny us real Catholicism. And by the way, the rest of the world knows it too. Nobody's buying it. Now, I believe this is still the Catholic Church, the Council is valid, but not infallible, and the new Mass is valid, and Francis is the Pope. But the anti-Catholics are not quoting the Second Vatican Council in their anti-Catholic material. They quote the Council of Trent. They misquote it and take it out of context, and they talk about statues and devotion to Mary. They don't know or don't care that you guys got rid of those things to please them. Even they know that's not real Catholicism. But you know who does like it? Satanists. Because now all they have to do is get in line at Mass, stick out their paws, get a host, act like they ate it, stick it in their pocket, so they can desecrate it in their mock version of the Latin Mass. Why this attack on trads who resist these changes? Well, most people, including priests and religious in the Novus Ordo, are good people. But there are others who are on the other side, and who are actively trying to destroy the church. And the traditional movement is standing in the way, and they don't like it. Until my next video, God bless.